morning, church. We want to thank you for being with us this morning. If you are visiting with us from our community, we're so grateful that you're here and so glad you decided to stay and to worship with us. This is not our normal way of preaching on a Sunday morning. Nikki and I are in Lubbock enjoying some festivities around Jonah's last year of college, and we'll be back here next Sunday looking forward to being with you in person, but thought I could share this morning's sermon via video. And so thank you for all those who have worked so hard to get this right. And hopefully everything will go perfect, and we'll go from there. I love Psalms. The Psalms are the words of the church. They didn't start off that way. They were first the songbook for Israel, but they became eventually the songbook for the church. And I just want to reflect a little bit on Psalm 122 this morning. You've already heard Bryce talk about the heart of worship. And one of the places I think you get that heart of worship is from the Psalms. And so we'll spend a little time there. Let's first, though, begin with just a reading of Scripture. So David writes this in Psalm 122. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord, according to the statute given to Israel. There stand the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be with you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. I love that psalm. What I love the most about that psalm is David is excited to be going to the tabernacle. That as he's writing this, and again, the temple's not built yet. His son will be the one who builds the temple. But David says, I was excited to be going, and let me use a phrase the way we often use it. And maybe we use it wrong, but let's explain it. David's excited to be going to church. He's excited to be going to the place where God dwells, because it's good to go and be in God's presence. And I think the most important thing we ought to learn from this psalm is for you and I, it is good to go be in the presence of God. And when we come to church, and again, we use that idea of when we come to worship, when we come to worship, we are engaging with a God who loves us. See, Israel believed in a God that was what we would call omnipresent. That is, he was everywhere. And we believe the same thing. We believe God is everywhere, but they also believed that he was localized in a special place. You have that little room in the tabernacle, and then eventually in the temple, a place called the Holy of Holies, and you get this amazing vision that comes in Exodus where the tabernacle has been built, and the Spirit of God comes in and dwells within that Holy of Holies. They believed in a very special way that that's one of the places God lived. And so when they came to Jerusalem, when they made that journey for Passover or for Pentecost or for the Feast of Booths or other reasons why they would come to town, they knew that that was a place where God chose to manifest his presence. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 84. He says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." When you arrived in Jerusalem, it was a special time. And you knew that Jerusalem was where the place God lived inside that tabernacle and eventually that temple. See, New Testament Christians believed the same thing. They believed that God was omnipresent, that he was everywhere. But they also believed that in a very special way, when you came to be together with God's people in what we would call worship, God was there. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is dealing with a situation there where worship has gone a little awry. And there are some things going on there that shouldn't be going on. And one of the things Paul says is, what would the outsider say? And here's what he says. He says, so the outsider, that's the he. So 1 Corinthians 14:25. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. So what Paul is saying is you've got an outsider that has come into this place of worship. And my guess is in Corinth, it's a house church or it's under a tree. But God is saying, here is somebody coming into this place. And he's saying, God is here. I hope when you walk into this building, you say, God is here. Not because it's a building and not because it says church on the sign, but because it is in this place, all brick and mortar, but it's in this place where God dwells through his people. But the second reason is I think David is excited to be going to church because it's good to go and be with God's people. See, God could have commanded special times of worship in the closet. He could have said, on Sunday morning, what I want you to do is forget about everything that's going on in your world and go sit in your favorite chair with your Bible and maybe sing a song to yourself and pray a little bit and read scripture. He could have said that, but he doesn't. And I'm not saying that those aren't important. I think some of the most important things we do in our lives are those moments when it's just us and God and we're worshiping in that state. But there's the call to go and be with God's people. Because it's with God's people that we draw strength. And it's with God's people that we understand joy. And it's with God's people in corporate, united worship that we experience not only God among us, but church around us. David would write this in Psalm 42. He would say, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with him? My tears have been my food all day and all night, while men say all day long, where is your God? These things, and notice what David says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God. I think what the psalmist is saying there is he is longing for that experience, not just with God, but he's longing again for that experience with God's people, because that matters. So again, we hear the opening line to Psalm 122, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So why do we do that? Why do we, on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, come to the house of the Lord? Well, I think the first reason we do that is God commands it. We don't worship when we feel like it. We worship because God said, come and do it. And that's why it's important. Now, I have noticed in my own life that I may not always feel like coming to worship. But I think worship helps me develop feelings for the one I'm worshiping. That there's something about coming in and singing the songs, and there's something about coming in and being around God's people, and there's something about communing around a table that helps me develop a more biblical, theological feeling of the God who has saved me. And so I think worship matters because God commands it. But then God also knows it's good for us. Okay, my guess is you know this in your life, that you've had moments when you've been in this room, or maybe you've been in a room similar to it, some other church, where powerful things have happened because of God's people. Maybe there was joy over a child that was born, or maybe there was brokenness over the life that was lost, or of a cancer diagnosis, or maybe one of 100 other things in the midst of that, and powerful things happened in the midst of God's people being together. So what happens? What happens when we corporately worship? When we walk in these doors and we sit in these pews, what happens? I think three things happen. And some of these are from Psalm 122. The first thing is God's name is honored. Okay, we are reminded of who we are and who God is. Now just think of what we did just a few minutes ago. A few minutes ago, we gathered proverbially around a table and we said, here is the body of Jesus and here is the blood of Jesus. And we thought of ourselves. We thought of our lostness maybe at one point in time. We thought of our sinful condition. We thought of the mistakes we've made. We thought of the cross where Jesus bore our sin. We thought of an open tomb that was empty on that Sunday morning. And we remembered not only who God is and who the Son is, but who we are. You know, every now and then we'll have a baptism in the midst of a worship assembly. And what a great place to have a baptism in the midst of all of God's people gathered around. And we're reminded that we were once dead, but now we're alive. That we're reminded from Ephesians chapter 3, that we were, or Romans chapter 6, sorry, that we were buried in baptism and raised to a new life. We remember our story and who we are and who we belong to. And that breaks us into what Bryce was talking about a few minutes ago. That breaks us into the heart of worship because we're reminded of who God is. So the first thing that happens in corporate worship is God's name is honored. The second thing is I believe that God's family is strengthened and God's family is healed. In Psalm 122, verse 3, there's that line, Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. Now, to you and I, the reading of the NIV, that sounds like we're living in New York City. I mean, if you've ever been to New York City, everything is crammed in, and their idea of an alley is like this right here. Their idea of space between apartments is that much room, and everything is just jammed in on that little island. That's not what Paul is, or what David is saying. David is saying it's this group of people that are bound together. It's not that we're compacted, it's that we're bound. And I think what David is saying is it's when we come as God's people to Jerusalem and we come for a special significant moment, whether it's Passover or Pentecost or whatever feast we're coming for, all of Israel becomes one. And that to me is significant. Because, my friends, when we are in this room, we are displaying one of the greatest acts of unity the church can proclaim. Because we're coming from all different places, all different jobs, all different ages, a few different colors, and we're coming into this group as one group to praise God. David would say the 12 tribes become one. We would say we focus on the God who is God of all of us as his children. And so we stop focusing on ourselves, and we look to each other. But the third thing is I believe when we come together in corporate worship, God's voice is heard. For David, Jerusalem was the place where you would go to hear the words of the king and of the king's staff, where you would go to hear what the priest might say or what the prophet might say. They would speak for God. I think worship is one of those places where we ought to be longing to receive a message from God. Now, we receive that message in a few different ways. Obviously, you receive that message from whoever stands up here and gives it. Whether it's Bryce or our communion talk or whether it's myself, you hear the message of what Scripture says to you, but we hear it in our music too. I mean, I didn't know the story of the cross because I read Scripture. I knew the story of the cross because we sang, "On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross." And I knew the story of victory in Jesus from a song that we sang long before I theologically knew it and could explain it from the Word of God. And so we've got not only our ministry through preaching and through teaching and through reading of Scripture, but when we sing and when we commune and when we pray and when we hear people share their struggles and their story, we are reminded of the voice of God. Okay, one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 73. And let me set the stage for the verses we're going to talk about. So Psalm 73, the psalmist is saying, it is going crazy around me. And I've got all this mess going on, and I'm trying desperately to figure it out. And here's what he says. He says, when I tried to understand all of this, it was oppressive to me. Now notice what he says, until I entered the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their final destiny. Okay, let me paraphrase what I think he's saying. I think he's saying the world has gone nuts around me and I've got all these people that are opposed and are against me and everything has fallen to pieces and I went to church and I got my head on straight. That I went to the place where God is and I went to the place where God's people are and I got things right in my head. Maybe you've been the same way. Maybe your world has been crashing around you and you've got chaos reigning from left to right and you can come here and you can be in God's place. Again, it's not this wall that makes this God's place. It's not these pews that make it God's place. It's not a name on a building that makes it God's place. What makes it God's place is His people are here to worship Him. And you can come and you can get your head back on right. And you can start to deal with those things that are trying you. And you can start to maybe put some things in your life straight. And maybe you can get rid of a little sin and change focus from a job to the Lord. And maybe you can recommit as a father or a mother or a child or a servant of the King. And worship does that. Because that's the place where we hear God's voice. So let me finish with two questions. And we're not going to preach on these two questions. I just want you to think about them for a second. Do you have a sense when you come into this place Do you have a sense of anticipation? Okay, let me illustrate it this way. Anticipation is one of my favorite words, and it started when I was just a little kid. Now, most of you know, I love a good hamburger, and I love a good blob of ketchup on the hamburger. And when I was a little kid, there was this Heinz ketchup commercial where they sang this little ditty about anticipation. And there was a boy who looked kind of like me who's holding the jar of Heinz ketchup, just waiting for that blob to fall on his burger. And sure enough, the blob falls on his burger, and that kid grabs the burger and takes a big old bite, and he's got ketchup smeared on his face. If you can't remember that commercial or you're too young, go YouTube it. I guarantee it's on there. It's anticipation. I can't wait for this to hit this so I can eat this. Okay, it's one thing to anticipate a hamburger. What do you anticipate when you walk in these doors? What do you anticipate when you walk in these doors to celebrate what God has done and to hear what God has done and to sing about what God has done and to do it with God's people? Do you have a sense of anticipation? And the second thing, do you expect to leave better than you came? Okay, I hope both of those answers are yes. And if those answers aren't yes, I hope there are ways you can figure out to make them yes. And we need to do a good job at worship too. We need to be doing worship in a way that honors God and that uplifts and strengthens you. But some of that's on you too. Do you leave better than when you came? Okay, we didn't have worship service last week. Snow came. A lot of us, I'm guessing, watched other churches while we sat in our easy chair, and it kind of was like COVID all over again for a week. And this morning, when you're hearing this, I will be at church with Jonah and Paige, and I'm looking forward to sitting next to Jonah and Paige and singing and praising and being with my family. Because worship matters. And worship matters not just because it's us and God. Worship matters because it's us and us. Or maybe to put it a little more accurately for all those English teachers, worship matters because it's about each other. I've had some great worship experiences in my life. One of the ones I can remember the most involved about 40 kids. So it was a couple of preachers, and it was about 40 kids gathered around a circle room. And we faced each other and we sang. And if you've never heard a group of kids sing in a small room, you're kind of missing out. So here's this group of kids packed into this small room, and the singing was moving and powerful. And a couple of kids read scripture, and one guy did a short little devotional thought from some of the words of Jesus. And I just remember being in that presence, and not only did I feel the presence of God, but I felt the presence of God's people. Now, we're not always going to have those mountaintop experiences, but I think when we come through these doors, there ought to be an experience. And it ought to be an experience because we are with those who are just like us. Fallen, sinful sometimes, in need of grace, in need of God's love, sitting or standing or however we're positioned in our places, realizing who our God is and what He's done for all of us. So I asked Wayne to lead us in a couple more songs. And we're going to worship just a little bit more before we're dismissed. And so, Wayne, in a second, come up and lead us. But I want you to know, if you need anything, the elders are always here. In fact, there'll be some that'll be up here if you need to come and see them. And I'm back on Tuesday morning. If you need me, find me Tuesday morning. We'll figure out what we can do. And if you just need somebody in your pew, find somebody in your pew to pray over, to pray with, to hold you accountable, whatever it is. But if you need something, find us. That's what the people of God coming together are for, to not only worship, but to help. So if you need something, let us know. Wayne, let's sing a little bit more.